I love it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I and them, and you and me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. John 13:22-23. Our gospel today could be titled, and it is, Loved into Unity. It picks up on one of John's favorite themes, God's love. And it must be read in the context of God's loving the world so much that God sent the only begotten Son to be born of Mary, so that whoever in the world believes in him might be saved. And in the context of the new commandment, that you love one another. After the Lord instituted the Eucharist, he washed the feet of his disciples and gave them a new commandment of love. And may we love each other with a sincere heart. During that foot washing ceremony on Maundy Thursday, we sing that wonderful hymn, Ubi Caritas. I think it's fitting for us to recall the words of this great hymn. It starts out in Latin, Ubi Caritas et Amor, Deus ibi est. The first verse, translated into English, is as follows. Where charity and love are, God is there. Christ's love has gathered us into one. Let us rejoice and be pleased in him. Let us fear and let us love the living God. This act and this command set the scene for the high priestly discourses of chapters 14 through 16 of John's Gospel, and the great high priestly prayer from chapter 17, which closes with this prayer that we read today for unity. This unity arises out of God's love. God took, God takes the initiative. God loves Jesus. God loves the world. God continues to love Jesus, and the Father and the Son together love us into unity with the Holy Trinity and with each other. In response, we ought to love each other and the whole world, that all may be one. I once read about a family who were without children, and they adopted a daughter. Cynthia was not adopted as an infant. She was 12 years old when she came into their home. She came reluctantly, even irritably. Cynthia legally became their daughter when the papers were signed, but it took years to get over the foster homes, the neglect, the distrust, the fear of abandonment, of being pushed out yet again. Yes, those were difficult years. Many people do not have the commitment to love that it took to love Cynthia into family. But the love that was stern and tender, demanding and forgiving, slowly began to bear fruit. By the time Cynthia finished high school and entered college, she was beginning to feel at home in her home. And by the time she finished college, she realized that she was saying dad and mom with real feeling. That there was an integrity that had taken years to develop. She had been loved into family. At her wedding, not long after college, she brought tears to every eye as she paid tribute to her mother and father, who had loved her when she, says, by her own admission, cantankerous, rebellious, obstinate, angry, hostile, vengeful, in short, quite unlovable. She said that she and her new husband would try valiantly to provide the same kind of love to any children that God might give them. And as predicted with the first grandchild on the scene, that love does continue. Cynthia's story seems to have many parallels with Jesus' words. In verses 23 through 26, Jesus speaks of the love which the Father loved him. In verse 24, he says that the Father loved him before the foundations of the world. The Holy Trinity is a trinity of love, a complete society within the Godhead, where there is community motivated by love. Jesus seems to be defining this unity of oneness as a mystery, something quite beyond our understanding. Indeed, Cynthia's parents at times thought that there was no possibility of reciprocal love in their daughter. But in God's mysterious providence, love, which was beyond emotion of infatuation, love which was sheer determination of will, worked the miracle of unity. By the time of her marriage, Cynthia had become what she was at the time her adoption papers were signed. She was the child of her parents, and she loved them in return. We are God's children, but we still pray that we will be more deeply become God's children day by day. We must become what we are. God's children. We must become what we are. Jesus then compares that love that unites the Father and the Son with the love that he has for the 12 disciples. But it extends farther than that. For it is us, you and me, that are those who will believe in me through their word. We believe through the word of the disciples. You know, it's really amazing that the 12 got along at all. They're a motley lot, a zealot, a tax collector, a bunch of uneducated fishermen, rich, poor. Jesus loved them into unity with himself. And Jesus is continuing to love each and every one of us into the unity of the church, which is his body. This, too, is something of a miraculous ministry, but we have seen it happen again and again. I had the privilege of working directly with the captain of the Pottstown Police Department, who was a devout Roman Catholic. A wonderful friendship developed between the two of us, and we would spend hours discussing religion and its impact on our lives. He and his wife sponsored Shirley and I on our marriage encounter weekend. And a few months later, he asked me if I would be interested in going on retreat with him. Now, I hadn't been on a retreat ever in a Roman Catholic retreat house, and I hadn't been on retreat for probably 10 or 15 years. It was something I longed to do. The first night after dinner, there was a Eucharist celebrated in the chapel. I longed to receive the body and blood of Christ, but I didn't want to embarrass my friend by going forward and presenting myself for communion. So I stayed kneeling in meditation, and I became aware of his presence by my side. And he leaned over and he whispered to me, "I want you to know that you're welcome at this Eucharist. We are brothers in Christ." In that moment, I recognized that he and I, and the rest of the congregation that was there, was loved into unity. And as we went together to receive communion, I had a deep down feeling that we were a part of the answer to Jesus' prayer. I continue, as I have for the last 30 years, to attend this retreat. It was there that I answered my call to become a deacon in the Episcopal Church. And since my ordination, believe it or not, I've served two or three times with the priest at the altar at this Roman Catholic retreat house. We were loved into unity. All of us are to be instruments of that marvelous love of God that loves the world so much. This is a sacrificing love, and we are to sacrifice something of ourselves for it. That sacrifice is the sacrifice of love that reaches out to others in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. This surely means that those of us in the churches that call ourselves Christians should give evidence of the love that can draw us into unity with one another. To be sure, this is important, but it's probably much more important that we live as instruments of God's love, which continues to reach out to those who do not believe. God continues to love the whole world. And this passage speaks not only to the unity of the churches, but should be seen as a prod to an apostolate, the evangelizing of our communities and neighborhoods, and yes, even into the whole world. There are those in the world, millions, whom God seeks to draw into unity and fellowship with the body of Christ. They are the Cynthias of the world, who have been buffeted and abused, who need to see the glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. And they must see that love and glory reflected in our lives, in our words, and in our faces. This is a commitment we have to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit blows in countless directions, and commitment to Jesus takes on surprising dimensions. This is the great mystery and gift of the gospel to every generation. To put it another way, once we have surrendered our lives in obedience to the guidance of the Spirit, everything about our way of life may change. Perhaps that's why the words, let go, let God, are valued by so many people. St. Richard of Chichester must have discovered this truth when he wrote his famous and powerful prayer, which underlines the surrendering of our lives to God. It goes like this. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly, forever and ever. This act of commitment to Christ, whatever form it takes, is also a deep commitment to walk in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in all their laughter, their tears, and their uncertainty. It's a commitment to care for God's good earth, to listen to the cries of the abandoned, to free us from self-absorption, to suffer for the kingdom, to walk in obedience to Christ's truth, and to celebrate in joy the extraordinary good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can't do it without humble prayer. The Easter message that is reflected in the book of Acts and in the prophetic readings is explosive. It expels us, sends us out into the world to proclaim the gospel of the love of God revealed in the resurrection of our blessed Lord. Today, instead of speaking only on an ecumenical church and of a hoped-for unity among Christians, we must stress that the reason that we read the book of Acts in this season of Easter is because these readings constantly focus our attention on the outreaching love of God that seeks to draw all people into unity of faith. It's in this outreaching love, which prompted Stephen's martyrdom. And it's this strong love of God bringing in the divine and the eternal reign of Christ, which promises, as we read in Revelation today, I am coming soon. Yes, Jesus' return is the final act of God's great love, which through Christ will make us all one. Christ is continually inviting us to be his disciples, to be lights for him in our communities, reflections of his presence despite all personal frailties and inner contradictions. Or as the Chinese prayer puts it, make us Bibles, Lord, so that those who cannot read the book can read it in us.